Amen? All right. We're moving on. I believe if we're going to have the church that's going to survive, the church has got to be more. There's got to be more prayer and less programs. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And I realize that we can't spend all our time on our knees. But I also realize that revival never comes and the moving of God's Spirit never comes to a people who are prayerless and who are not on their knees and seeking the face of God. God said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. And that's just not for a nation, that's for a church, that's for a family. God said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear them from heaven, and I'll come down and I'll bring healing into their situation, whether it's a family, whether it's a church, whether it's a nation, whatever it may be. He said, it is up to my people. And I believe that what we need to see today is God's people get earnest before Him. And there needs to be times of private prayer. There needs to be times of public prayer. There needs to be times of corporate prayer. We have got to learn, because when the Holy Spirit came, they were on the day of Pentecost in the upper room. They had spent 10 days waiting before God. Why? To get to receive the promise that God had given to them. The power of the Holy Spirit is going to come. I want you to go into all the world, Luke chapter 24, verse 47, and preach the gospel to every creature. But you wait in the city of Jerusalem. He didn't tell them how long to wait. He said, you wait until He comes. And when He comes, hallelujah, you will receive power. And when that Holy Spirit comes upon you, they waited 10 days. They were not squabbling. The Bible says they were all with one mind and they were all with one accord, waiting in the presence of God, praying and waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit to fall. And on the day of the Feast of Pentecost, that power came. Why? Because there were people who were waiting on the moving and the power of the Holy Spirit that God had promised through His Son Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe we've got to see more prayer, because that prayer is not our list we're giving to God. That prayer is a time of interaction with the Most High God. That prayer is a time when we come before the King of Kings and we let His Spirit come into us and we learn to be saturated and soaked and anointed in the power and the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That anointing cannot come without being in the Word of God and in the presence of the Most High and receiving a renewing of His Holy Spirit. I tell you what, there are people that run all over looking for stuff and things and looking for a fresh move of the Holy Spirit. A conference is not going to bring the fire that you're looking for. What will happen is you got to get on your knees before God. It's either to say, I'll go over here and there's where I'll meet the Holy Ghost. I'll go over here and there I'll get a word of prophecy. I'll go over here and there I will get refreshed and encouraged. I want to tell you what, stop running. Get on your knees, because it's in the presence of the Most High God that you will get that word of God. You will hear from God. The Spirit of God will touch you. And when God's people learn to seek God's face and fall on their face before Him, God said, I'll hear them from heaven and I'll send them the deliverance that they need. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer changes people. The Bible says in Luke, men ought to always pray and not to faint. There's a correlation between praying and fainting. If you stop praying, you start fainting. From 1 to 10, where are you? Because if you're over here, you're fainting. But if you're all the way over here, you're filled. Hallelujah. And you ain't going to faint if you're learning how to pray in the Spirit. If you're learning how to spend time in the Most High God. Hallelujah. Fifthly, time's fleeting. You're getting tired and hungry. But I believe if the church is going to fail, is going to stand today, we have got to learn to preach hard truths, not just positive, feel-good sermonettes. I believe we've got to preach hard truth and not just positive, feel-good sermonettes. Why? Because there's a tendency for preachers to preach on things that people want to hear. Instead, you know, we want to hear how to succeed in life and how to be happy and how to get $1 million and how to reclaim everything the devil stole from us. That's popular. But Jesus said, God said, as he writes to Timothy, he said, for the time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound teaching. Instead, they will follow their own desires, looking for teachers who will tell them whatever they want to hear. And they will reject the truth and follow strange myths. And we have a generation who says, tell me what I want to hear, entertain me, keep me comfortable, burp me before I go out the back door so that I don't have hard feelings. But I believe if God's going to have a church, it's going to be because we stand up and preach the whole truth. We preach from Genesis to Revelation. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. We have a tendency to just stay on the goodness and on the grace and of the love and on the mercy. But we've got to learn that God also is a God of justice. He's a God of judgment. My problem is not so much here, but my problem is what's going to happen the moment I shut my eyes in death and I stand at some point facing eternity. On the one side is God in heaven. On the other side is the lake of fire. Right then, feel-good sermons are not what you need. Right then, a message of the grace of God coupled with the judgment of God, the whole gospel, the whole truth. Because we're not just trying to prepare people for how to succeed and be happy in this life. We are preparing them how to face eternity, either with Jesus Christ in heaven or with Satan in hell. And so I believe we've got to come to the place where we recognize that we've got to preach more than what people want to hear. We have got to preach what the Holy Spirit is saying from Genesis to Revelation. We need the whole Bible. Amen? There's some people don't, you know, they said, I'm a New Testament Christian. I just read the New Testament. And I said, fine, I'm an Old Testament scholar. I love the Old Testament. Because you know what? The new is in the old contained, and the old is by the new explained. They both couple together. You cannot have one without the other. Because when the Holy Spirit started with Genesis, he didn't stop until the end of Revelation. The same Holy Spirit that wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and all the way through is the same Holy Spirit who comes out and ends up with Jude and Revelation at the other side. It's the same Holy Spirit. And so I believe that we've got to learn that there are times that we have got to speak the whole thing, and not just what people want to hear. Amen? Listen, you know, we shudder. There are a lot of people that shudder to preach about sin. Standards that the Word of God lays out about marriage, about sex, about perversion, about the murder of babies, the Ten Commandments, about hell. When's the last time you ever heard a sermon on hell? Well, that's not popular preaching. No, it isn't. But I'll tell you what, there are people that need to hear. There are people that need to hear about heaven, there are people that need to hear about hell. And you know, Jesus spoke about hell. It's in the Bible. And somehow or other, we have come to this side where we say, well, just tell people how to succeed, how to get along. You can succeed in this life. And Jesus puts it this way, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world? But he lost his soul. So you need the whole thing. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. The last thing, and I'll stop with this. If the church is going to make it, now I got two things. If the church is going to make it, it's got to have its vision start lifting from inside to outside. We have put a lot of focus on what happens inside. You know, Jesus' ministry, I would say 5% was in the synagogue, even less than that. But the rest of the ministry was in the highways, in the byways, in the marketplace. It was where the sinners are. It was where people gathered. And we have got to put our focus not on what is happening in the service. We have got to get our focus outside the walls, because when they come, will they come to be encouraged and built up and strengthened and challenged by the Spirit of God? Why? So that they can leave not feeling good and feeling happy and say, well, you sung my song and you preached my message. Hallelujah. Feel good. I'll be back next week for another shot. Hallelujah. But what we want to do is we want to teach them, equip them, and get them ready, because when they go outside the world, outside those doors, that they are going into the world as light into the midst of darkness, as salt into the midst of decay, and they are there to their family, to their friends, to the highways, to the byways, that wherever they go, they are going taking Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel wherever they go. Hallelujah. The church in the book of Acts did not meet just on 1 or 2 hours a week. The Bible says they went day by day. They met in people's houses. Listen, man, it was a contagious thing with the power of the Holy Spirit. People loving each other. Community, they shared their bread and they shared together. And they walked out the Word of God. And the emphasis of what they did was outside the church. Listen to Joel. Multitudes, multitudes. In the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near. In the valley of decision. Psalms 126. He that continually, I like that translation. The King James just leaves that word continuously out. He who continually goes out weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Listen, if the church is going to grow, it's got to get outside its four walls. It's got to get where the centers are. Amen? You can't grow a church and you can't see people come into the kingdom, because there got to be a time that you stop preaching to the choir. There got to be a time when you go out and start preaching on the streets and at the truck stops and in the gyms or wherever you are. That's where you need to take Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Mark 6:16, he said unto them, go. Everybody say, go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every person. Starting with your family, Jerusalem. Starting with your friends. Starting with your community. Begin to go and take Jesus Christ. Because the church can never survive. Because if you don't grow, if you don't have people or young people bringing up the next generation, it will die. You got to get outside the walls. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached. That's what brings. How shall they come to Jesus Christ if they never hear anybody? And how shall they hear someone unless they're outside the walls? God sends you out into the streets and begins to bring them in. Amen? Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Hallelujah. Amen. And the last one. If our work is going to survive, the emphasis has got to be at the right place. And culturally, we are suffering with this because we have put the emphasis on me. How I feel, what I want, my sermon, my song, my way, about me, I want to hear. If God's work is going to serve, Jesus said, I will build my church. The emphasis has got to be on him, not on me. The emphasis has got to be on Jesus Christ, not the pastor, not the priest, not on personality, and not on popularity. The emphasis has got to be on the head, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus came and he spake unto them and he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Jesus said, I will not share my glory with another. I will not share my glory with a pastor, a priest, with a personality, or with a popular person. I will stand and I will have my church. It belongs to him. And when we come, it's not about me. It's about him. So if we're going to see our work survive, we've got to learn that the emphasis has got to be on people, not on property, not on parking lots, not on programs. It's got to be on people. And I say, Lord God, help me to keep my priorities right. I want you to help me to keep my priority on God and on people. Amen? Listen, man. God, help teach me how to love you and teach me how to love people. Because that's where it's at. You know what? That's what motivated Jesus. He loved the Father and he loved the people. And he came to do the work of the Father by ministering as a servant to people. Hallelujah. Wow. Help me, Lord, to build community among your people. Help me to look for community instead of crowds. Crowds will come and crowds will go. Wow. But when you have a church that loves each other, prays with each other, talks to each other, helps each other, calls each other, encourages each other, you're going to have a people, because the church is not a building, a denomination, affiliation, a business with a cross on top of the church. It's people. It's you and I. It's human beings made in the image of God who have come out of darkness and come into the light. Help me to learn to teach your people to get along, to be unified, to encourage and strengthen and love each other. Help me, Lord, to learn to put more time into training instead of just preaching. To take people and mentor them, to show them, to train them, and then to say, watch me as I do it, and then I will watch you as you do it, and then I will release you to where you do it on your own with Jesus. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord, to learn how to pray. One of the secrets of Jesus was his prayer time. He snuck away sometimes in the hours of the dark. What really emphasized is before he faces the cross, he says, I've got to prepare. I've got to prepare. And he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, brethren, pray with me. I'm facing some things. You aren't sure what's happening. I've told you about them, but you don't understand them. Pray with me. Pray with me. And the Bible says, and he went a little further into the garden. Hallelujah. Why? To pray. And the intensity of his prayer, because he knew what he was facing. The Bible says he sweat. When's the last time you prayed that you sweat? The intensity of his prayer was the sweat drops became as drops of blood, because he knew he had to prepare so that he would pray and not faint. And I said, God, teach us as your people how to pray. How to stand between the porch and the altar and say, God, spare your people. Deliver us from this plague. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord, to learn how to preach hard truths. And not just what people want to hear, but what the Spirit is saying. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Amen? And help us, Lord, to learn to look outside the four walls. Help us to look into the highways and the byways. Go and compel them. The lost will face eternity without Jesus Christ unless we get outside the walls and say there is hope, there is help. It's in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And help me, Lord, to lastly keep my emphasis in the right place. It's not about the preacher, the prophet, the priest, the popular person, or the personality, but it's about the Father and His Son, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's about God, not about me. It is His church, and you are His people. I am only here as a minister to serve you, to wash your feet, to encourage you, to pray for you, and to say, I've come to be a help and a support that you may hopefully have heard from God through this vessel. And I say, God, help me. I need your help. Culture and pressure and all of these things. Go this way, do that, run here, go there. And I say, God, I'm tired of running in every direction. I run to the rock of my salvation. Hallelujah. And I say, Lord, this is your church. I'm your vessel. Whatever you can use me for, here am I. Send me. Use me. Here am I, Lord. I yield to you. I submit to you. I will stand and do whatever you ask me to do if you will help me. And I can't do it just in my own determination. I need your help and the help of your Holy Spirit. I need the help of, listen, we're here to help each other. And I say, oh God, please. There are people that need Jesus Christ. And when they come, there are people that need to be equipped and trained and taught and loved and discipled and built up so that they can go. And I say, Lord God, help us to be the church in these latter days that will stand. Some of these things that I've been sharing, I just read a book recently, and I've pulled some of the things there and shared with you. Book by the name of by the author by the name of Erwin Lutzer. It's called The Church in Babylon. One of the most revolutionary books that I've read recently, because he compares old Israel. When God took them out of their land, they left the temple, which was broken down. They left their Jewish heritage. They left the land of their fathers. They were transported into Babylon. And they had to learn how to survive in a foreign culture, in the midst of foreign gods, foreign languages, foreign traditions, foreign ideas. They had to learn to survive. And he focuses in on Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he said they have had to learn how to keep their roots with God and their heritage and their faith in the midst of a foreign culture. And he basically said this, I believe we have probably lost our culture. And as Christians, we've got to learn how to stand. And he says, we got three choices. Number one, we can isolate. Number two, we can assimilate. Or number three, we can learn how to be light in the midst of darkness. He said, to isolate is not what God wants us to do. God doesn't want us to become pillar saints where we say we're going to come out from among them and we're going to step up on the pillar so that we don't associate. He said, no, that's not God's plan. God doesn't want you to isolate from the culture. To assimilate is not God's plan either. To learn the ways of the culture and to let the ideas of the culture become your beliefs. He said, that's not the way either. The thing is we've got to learn to do as a church is become the light in the midst of the darkness and become the salt in the midst of decay and to move forward until Jesus delivers us just like he did delivered God's people from Babylon. He said, it's interesting that we have not heard about the rest of the Israelites who were in Babylon. But we heard about Daniel because he said, I'm not going to give in. When you say I have to pray to your God and I can't pray to my God, he said he didn't make a big fuss about it. He just went home and opened up the windows and did everything he did every other day. He prayed. It cost him the lion's den, but you know what? God was with him. He said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, listen, guy. Listen, dear king. You have chosen us, and this is fine. But we will not serve your God. I'll give you one more shot. I don't care. You can do what you want, but our God is able to deliver us. Whether he chooses to or not is irrelevant, but we're not going to serve your God. Where'd they learn that? Back home. But they carried it out in their culture. And he said, in our culture today, we've got to learn to stand for things that are in God's word and not compromise. We've got to stand and say, we will stand in the midst of Babylon until Jesus Christ comes and delivers us in the clouds of glory. And I say, I'm thankful for the God that we're serving. I bless you. I thank God for you. I pray that God use you. I pray that God's Spirit anoints you. And I pray that God makes you so contagious that other people will see you, Jesus Christ, through you. And they'll say, I want what you have. I want that what you have. I just pray that God will doubly bless you in your going out, in your coming in your home, in your family, and wherever you go, the power, the presence, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit will flow through you and use you to bring glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you. Hallelujah.